morning, Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We are talking about the Green Bay Packers, their offseason plans, plenty to talk about today. Pro day schedules are getting ramped up where Packers scouts around the country are checking out the talent of this year's draft class. Also have some free agency topics to cover as well. In fact, this morning, I don't know when the article was technically published, but in the past couple hours, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published an article on running back Ryan Grant. And I suppose before I get into that too much further, thank you. I'm being joined today by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, those comments will show up on our live blog, as well as if you use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, feel free to do that as well. But getting to Ryan Grant, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote an article in today's paper and the online version, jsonline.com, that Grant's agent interviewed Grant's agent saying the Packers are interested in having him back, but they're going to let him test free agency. They're going to let him go. They're not going to sign him between now and March 13th when free agency begins. That's the word from the Journal Sentinel. And makes total sense, to me at least. You know, Ryan Grant, been with the Packers for several seasons now. In what years were those? 2009 and 2008, the year before it. Rushed for 1,200 yards in each of those two seasons. Super Bowl season in 2010, the 2010 season, played the Super Bowl in 2011. But that year, Grant got hurt, came back this year, was a contributing member to the team, but shared carries with James Starks, of course. And you know, Ryan Grant did play especially well down the stretch. You know, when Starks was injured near the end of the year, there was a period over the last several games, last 3 to 5 games or so, where Grant was averaging, I think, over 5 yards a carry and doing pretty well and shouldering the load pretty well. And that's with, you know, fellow running back Alex Green out of the picture as well. So the question is, what do the Packers do? Do they re-sign Ryan Grant? And, you know, it's one of those things where, the Packers have to weigh the pros and cons. And you know, if I'm the Packers, I'd be happy to have Ryan Grant back at a very minimal contract. You know, certainly could be something that's incentive-laden. You know, the better he plays, the more he gets paid. Have no problem with that at all. But, you know, it's, of course, as everybody who listens to the show knows, that running backs, you know, die down after about age 30. And that's where Ryan Grant is right now. I think he's 29. But after age 30, I mean, it's, for most of them, their time is up in the NFL, or at least their effectiveness is up. It kind of goes downhill quickly from there. Not to say there aren't exceptions to the rule, but there aren't a whole lot. And so, you know, I think as Tom Silverstein pointed out in his article, it could be one of those type of things where the Packers would be happy to have him for one more year. Be happy to have that production before, you know, he kind of hits the wall, as most running backs do. But again, how much do the Packers want to pay? And does Ryan Grant want to play for a one-year contract? You know, the Packers are going to let him test the market, certainly. If somebody out there, if another NFL team wants to overpay for his services, the Packers will probably gladly let him, you know, factor into the compensatory draft pick equation a year from now. You know, if somebody wants to sign Ryan Grant to a multi-year contract for several million dollars, you know, by all means, the Packers will gladly take a you know, a sixth-round draft choice next year in return for losing his services, assuming they don't sign anybody in free agency. And again, that's not a given. That's just, you know, an example of what the Packers could get for him in compensation if they happen to lose him. But, you know, it's is any team out there going to want Ryan Grant? Possibly, you know, based upon how well he played at the end of the year. There might be a team out there that'll be interested in signing him. You know, like I said, I think almost any team would be, I thought the Packers would be happy to have his services again, albeit for a small contract. And I think other teams would be in the same boat as well. They're not going to want to pay him a whole lot, you know. But Ryan Grant will go to the team that he gets the most money and is probably a good fit in as well. You do have to remember that it was a topic of conversation just prior to the 2011 season, this past season, that Ryan Grant agreed to a restructured contract that paid him less before the season. Kind of interesting that it really didn't make headlines at the time it happened. It kind of came out after the fact. I'm not sure who reported that originally. It might have been Adam Kaplan, if I'm correct. But that was so long ago now, I forget where the original report came out. But it, you know, is one of those things that you have to imagine the Packers went to Ryan Grant as an agent and said, at the money you're costing us at the moment, and I think he had a contract for somewhere in the realm of $3.5 million per year, you know, they were probably like, you know, at this amount, you may get cut. You may not see that money at all. And so he agreed to a lesser contract to play in 2011. And he stuck around, what was the starter for the Packers. But again, it's one of those cases where the term starter is kind of, you know, not exactly what people think of all the time. The Packers always gave Ryan Grant, always put him in there the first play of the game, kind of just, you know, as reward him for being part of the team and being such a, you know, his contributions to the team, but not really playing like, given the playing time of most starters you would think of, you know, shared the load with James Starks. Ryan Grant had, what was it, 500 yards, something like that. And so anyway, so that's what the Packers are facing over the course of the next 2 weeks or so until free agency begins, and then after it begins, how much are they going to offer him? And that's not the only person they have to think about. Of course, since the last time we had Railbird Central on Monday, that was franchise tag deadline day in the NFL. We found out the Packers didn't place the tag on Matt Flynn, or Scott Wells for that matter, although it was pretty much a given that they wouldn't do it on Scott Wells, and it turns out it was pretty much a given they wouldn't do it on Matt Flynn either. But there was a chance. There was a chance, but it didn't happen. Fizzled out. And you know, it's just one of those things where the Packers couldn't afford the risk of placing the franchise tag on Matt Flynn. They would have had to have had a deal with a team set up ahead of time, and not just a deal with another team. Matt Flynn would have to agree to it as well, because he would have to agree to a restructured contract worth less than the price of the franchise tag that would pay him $14.5 million. No team would take on that type of salary. So it just wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. The Packers will let him test free agency, and he'll sign with another team out there. You know, I think we've identified already that, you know, quarterback needy teams, there's five of them out there, one being the Colts, but they're going to use their number one selection on Andrew Luck. Also going to be, you're talking the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Washington Redskins. Those four teams. One of them will go after Robert Griffin with the number two pick. Somebody will be trading up for that pick. Who that is, we don't really know. One of them will be going for Peyton Manning, and one of them will be signing Matt Flynn. I mean, invariably, that's how things are going to work out. You know, I don't know who's going to get who, but I mean, we can look into the crystal ball and figure out those things are going to happen. We just don't know who's going to go where. Coming from Kevin on the live blog, any news on Wells? No, no news on Wells. I mean, it's he's going to test free agency. You know, the Packers could step up between now and then and offer him a contract extension, but Wells wants to test free agency. I think he wants to force the Packers or any team to give him what he believes is a fair contract, and you know, going to make a team pay him like a top five center in the NFL. So that he's got that bargaining chip there, and that's what it's going to take. I mean, the Packers could possibly offer him a contract that'll pay him near that type of money, but it might happen. Might not happen until after free agency starts anyway. Kurt Kozad comments on the live blog, I hope that Wells' free agency test turns out like James Jones did. Of course, last year, James Jones hit free agency, found out the market wasn't quite what he thought it would be, ends up re-signing with the Packers anyway. Could be one of those type of situations with Scott Wells. May or may not. You know, hard to say right now because there's other free agent centers out there, good ones like the Texans, Chris Myers, and several others as well. So we will see how that all plays out. I think Scott Wells will get a decent contract somewhere. I've said before, I think the Packers should pay him somewhere in the range of, you know, the contract extensions they've given out in the past. I remember a couple years ago, both Ryan Pickett and Nick Collins, they signed contract extensions on the same day in 2009, or was it 2010? You know, both four-year deals, both fair amount of money for the positions they paid. And I think that's what the Packers have to do with Wells. Give him a contract that probably pays him nearly a top five center money in the first year, maybe the second year, but tapers off after that. You know, that there's less guaranteed money later in his contract as the chances of his play regressing become greater. Not to say it will happen, but also gives the Packers a little bit of salary cap flexibility down the road as well. That's what I think the Packers should do. Whether or not that happens is another matter. So that's what's, you know, going to happen over the course of the next couple weeks here as we wait for the new league year to begin March 13th. So probably not going to see a lot of action between now and then, but once it starts, you know, we've already discussed Matt Flynn, Scott Wells, Ryan Grant, but then there's a couple others out there like defensive backs, Jared Bush and Pat Lee, linebacker Eric Walden, and defensive lineman Howard Green, all going to test free agency, and we'll see what happens. In other Packers-related news, the Pro Day circuit is ramping up. Today is Wisconsin's Pro Day, University of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Badgers, and given the proximity between Green Bay and Madison, the Packers almost always have somebody in attendance representing the Packers at Wisconsin's Pro Day. So could be some news coming out of Madison today. I'll actually be there in Madison this afternoon, so I'll be bringing you the latest here on Cheesehead TV of anything I happen to learn. You know, a year ago, I wrote this on this morning's Packers calendar here at Cheesehead TV, but a year ago, both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy were there. You know, kind of some news came out of there with, you know, kind of the figureheads of the franchise showing up. But, you know, it's no given that Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy are going to show up this year. Could just be a case where they send some of their regional scouts, things like that. But, I mean, it's a pretty good draft class this year for the Badgers. I mean, they've got a first-rounder, potentially, at least, in center Peter Kahns, who the Packers could be interested in, by the way, to perhaps replace. Scott Wells. You know, they've got Kevin Zeitler, another offensive lineman who's going to go in, you know, probably a second-day draft choice. Russell Wilson always gets a lot of attention just because he plays the high-profile quarterback position. There's wide receiver Nick Toon, son of Al Toon, on the Packers board of directors, and, of course, the former Jets great. You know, and just, you know, tons of other players for the Badgers going to be on display. Fullback Brady Ewing, perhaps the best fullback in this year's draft class. Safety Aaron Henry, perhaps one of the best players to not be invited to the NFL Combine. One of the biggest NFL Combine snubs will be working out today. Cornerback Antonio Fenelis. And three specialists. The Badgers had three very good specialists this past year. Punter Brad Nortman, kicker Philip Welch, and their long snapper, Kyle, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, Wota? But yeah, so a lot of talent on display at Wisconsin's Pro Day today, and the Packers sure to have somebody in attendance, even if it's just a scout. And I'll make sure to report who's there as soon as I know for sure. Let's see. The Packers were in attendance at a couple other pro days earlier this week. It was learned that I believe every team in the NFL was in attendance at Georgia's pro day, except two. Georgia's pro day, except like the Cowboys and the Bears or something like that. And every other team was represented. So the Packers had some representatives there. On Monday, they were at the UAB pro day, University of Alabama, Birmingham. And they do have one pretty good prospect this year in tackle Matt Cantz. He's an offensive tackle. I believe he was invited to the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he's going to be not a first-round draft choice, but, again, a guy who could be a second-day guy, rounds two or three, a mid-round type of player that, you know, the Packers checked out. And among their other players on their, you know, lesser-profile players on their team that were working out as well. And then on Monday as well, the Packers at the University of Minnesota Pro Day. And, you know, kind of a poor draft class this year for the University of Minnesota. They didn't have a whole lot of talent in that senior class. But you never know. There's always late-round guys, undrafted guys that the Packers are continually searching for, as you know, all the time. Just this past year, I think at one point the Packers had five undrafted guys in their roster. You know, who was it all? They had Vic Sooto. They had Jamari Lattimore. They had running back Brandon Sane. I'm missing some as well. I just can't think of them all off the top of my head. Safety M.D. Jennings. You know, all these guys that went and drafted, and the Packers kept them all. You know, the Packers have a knack for that. They have a, you know, they look for those guys, and they find some pretty good talent. So, I mean, you just never know where these guys are going to come from. You never know. Question from Kyle Cousineau. How many guys are working out at the Badgers Pro Day? It's hard to say with certainty because, I mean, all the typical guys you would expect to be there, you know, Russell Wilson, Peter Kahns, Kevin Zeitler, they'll all be there and working out. But then, you know, Pro Days are also for the guys who are, you know, lesser known, guys who are seniors who may not even play in the NFL, but could be working out in front of Canadian Football League scouts or Arena League guys, things like that. So, you know, the guys further down the roster do work out as well. So I don't have a firm number, but we'll be finding out later this afternoon. You know, even a guy like Patrick Buttram, defensive tackle for the Badgers, you know, he has a chance to be a late round draft choice, and could end up in a training camp somewhere. Probably not the kind of guy who's going to get drafted, though, or if he is drafted, it'll be in the later rounds, sixth, seventh round, things like that. So Kyle Cousineau says, I know Whitewater has three guys working out there today, too. know of any other small school kids that will be there. I know Packer Report, Bill Huber of Packer Report, has mentioned that quarterback Matt Blanchard of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater will be at Wisconsin's Pro Day today. He's the only guy I know with any certainty or that's been reported that I've seen will be there. And actually, Matt Blanchard was invited to the Players All-Star Classic All-Star game in Arkansas this past year, where, you know, several draftable players, guys who will be playing in the NFL, also played. So it's kind of hard to believe that the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater is producing guys who could be playing in the NFL. But this kid has a chance. I wouldn't doubt at all if Matt Blanchard gets signed somewhere as an undrafted free agent and gets a shot at least. Whether he'll make it in the NFL, you know, he's got a lot of work in front of him to do it. But it's one of those things where he has a chance, and doing it today in front of scouts would be a big boost to his stock. So, you know, it's the whole month of March here is Pro Day month. After the combine ends in late February, the Pro Day circuit begins, and it started last week already and continues this week. In fact, today is a big day. I forget who all has their workouts today, but I think the Badgers are going up against some other large schools hosting their Pro Days today, like USC and was it Oklahoma who has theirs today? It was one of those schools in the Big 12. I mean, there's probably five or six today where NFL teams have to choose, are we going to send our scouts to Wisconsin or are we going to send them to wherever? And, you know, they have regional scouts, certainly. You know, they've got guys dedicated who just work on the West Coast and just the Midwest and just the East Coast, just the South, things like that. So, I mean, they kind of divvy it up that way. But if there's something, you know, somebody they're particularly interested in or, you know, want to learn more about, they may send coaches to check out these players. Last year at Wisconsin's Pro Day, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was there. So you just never know who's going to show up. I guarantee you, Chicago Bears offensive coordinator Mike Tice will be there today because his son had played for the University of Wisconsin. So you can guarantee Mike Tice will be there today as well. Just a notable a person who will be in attendance, as well as, you know, several other scouts for that matter. But yeah, it's all a build up to the NFL draft. So we're now at early March, and we're working up to the draft in late April. The whole month of March is Pro Days, Pro Day circuits. You know, scouts from the Packers will be checking out these Pro Days from now until the end of March, and I think there's a few even at early April before they taper off a little bit. And there we go. Ted the Sledge on our live blog says the Pro Days that are today: Alabama, USC, Texas A&M, Miami, Mississippi State, Nebraska. That's quite the lineup of Pro Days today. This is probably like the busiest day on the schedule, and some pretty good schools as well. Alabama, the national champion, reigning national champion, today. USC, and they've got a pretty good draft class this year. Texas A&M, all these schools, just, you know, a lot of good prospects on display today. So, you know, there will be a lot of coverage going on across the nation today. The Packers and other NFL teams, for that matter, will be plenty busy checking out all these players. I mean, just looking at those schools, I mean, Alabama, of course, there's Courtney Upshaw. A lot of Packer fans would love the Packers to draft Courtney Upshaw, the outside linebacker prospect from Alabama. With USC, there's Nick Perry, outside linebacker prospect. The question there is, he's kind of a guy who played defensive end in college in a three-point stance, but a lot of people think he perhaps is a 3-4 outside linebacker in that scheme. And will he be able to make that transition? And does he want to make that transition? Nick Perry has said he's comfortable. He's more comfortable in a three-point stance, but would play wherever he's drafted as well. Texas A&M, the big prospect there was quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Of course, tutored by former Packers coach Mike Sherman, now the ex-coach at Texas A&M. But Ryan Tannehill is a guy who's on the border of being a first-round draft choice. Somebody could take a flyer on him late in the first round. Maybe, maybe not. Mississippi State, Fletcher Cox is their big target or their big prospect, and perhaps a target of the Packers as well. You know, the Packers need help on the defensive line, and Fletcher Cox is a 300-pound defensive lineman, would play their 5 technique in the 3-4 defense and probably be a pass rushing specialist. And to tell you the truth, he's one of my favorite guys in the draft for targets of the Packers, Fletcher Cox. I've kind of gone back and forth in him. Now I'm getting high on him because after the combine, you kind of learn that this is a guy who's high character and a guy who really loves football. It comes across in his interviews and just other things I've read on the internet as well, how he's expressed that to teams and done well in his team interviews with NFL teams. At Nebraska, Jared Crick, another defensive lineman who could be in play for the Packers, a guy who could play a defensive line 5 technique, was a defensive tackle for Nebraska, but would probably be an end in a 3-4 defense like the Packers run. So a lot of prospects today working out in front of NFL scouts, and we'll see how the Packers take a look at these guys. And you know, between draft talk here and free agency talk, just a lot going on, and it's only going to get ramped up in about a week and a half when free agency begins, not too long from now. So be a busy time. And I suppose I can take this moment here. I don't do it too often, so I don't feel too bad about the shameless plugging here, but you know, our Cheesehead TV NFL Draft Guide, which we've titled Pro Football Draft Preview this year, is now unavailable for pre-sale. And I highly encourage you, if you're an NFL draft junkie like I am, to buy it, to pre-order it. In fact, we have a sale on right now. It costs less right now if you pre-order. It costs $4.99, not that much money, as opposed to $5.99 when it actually goes on sale. We're looking at March 20th as the on sale date. So at that date, it'll jump up in price a little bit. So we're offering that right now to anybody who pre-orders it and supports our product. And I've taken a look at most of the content already, and it's really great. We've ranked and analyzed over 300 NFL prospects, and analyzed the needs of the Packers and every team. There's an entire 3-round mock draft. There's a Packers specific 7-round mock draft. We took a look at the roster of the Packers and seeing where these rookies could fit in. You name it, feature articles, interviews, columns, all sorts of stuff, and our Cheesehead TV NFL Draft Guide. There's a link to it right at the bottom of the live blog. You can order it right at our Cheesehead TV shop. I guarantee you're going to love it. And it's only $4.99. You go to the local newsstand and buy an NFL Draft Guide, and you're probably going to pay more than that. And it's not going to be geared toward the Green Bay Packers. That's where we come in. We analyze the prospects based upon the needs of the Packers. We break them down into 3-4 defensive linemen, 3-4 outside linebackers, 3-4 inside linebackers, you know, that type of thing. So, it's really geared toward the Packer fan. I highly encourage you get it. if you're at all into the NFL draft. So, you know, I'll be checking out Wisconsin's Pro Day later today, so make sure to be tuned to Cheesehead TV for coverage from that. And I'm taking off, folks. Have a good day. Have a good Wednesday. Stay tuned for all your Packers news. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Thanks for joining us on Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.